The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Ger Gilroy is with me from Off the Ball. Ger, actually, listen, I want to talk to you about World Cup qualifiers in a moment. But Shamrock Rovers, great win last night for them, 3-0 in Tala. So they've got Chelsea coming up next to try and get through to the round of 16.
They're through. They're guaranteed to be through to the round.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, they've qualified.
So what's the import of the Chelsea match?
There is a chance if they were to get a result that they could finish in the top eight. So this competition is the same format now as the Champions League.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Top eight go through automatically to the quarterfinals, and the teams from 9 to whatever
it is,
16,
yeah,
24, automatically then play off each other in a two-leg playoff, and the winners of that go through to play off the top eight teams. So you skip a round, and I presume you get more prize money because of that. And what they're doing is unprecedented. They went and they won an away match in Europe, and then they came home and they cruised to a 3-0 win against a technically superior Eastern European team.
Yeah.
It's mad. It is absolute madness of what they're doing.
Yeah, but what's going on in the background then at Rovers, for people who haven't been paying attention to this?
There is currently Palace intrigue, right?
Yeah.
So their manager, Stephen Bradley, did a press conference. The pre-match press conference, it's a standard match day minus one. UEFA insists that everybody has a press conference. And generally they're like, mood in the camp, injury situation, crowd get behind you.
Yeah.
Oh, opponents, they're very good, aren't they? That's generally what happens. But this week, Stephen Bradley started talking about the club not being aligned properly at boardroom level, and that if they're not aligned, they're not going to be able to achieve on the pitch. Now, that actually makes what they're doing even better.
Yeah. What did he mean? What was he talking about?
Well, so we're parsing here, right? And you got to be careful. We're dealing with very entrenched factions. 50% of Shamrock Rovers is owned by a membership, right? And they elect board members. Mm-hmm. So they're the members and the members' representatives on the board. And then you have two others, ownership groups. One of whom is Dermot Desmond, who obviously owns Celtic.
And, yeah.
And then there's an Irish-Australian businessman who also owns 25%. And they've both put in millions over the past number of years. But just recently, it seems as if their willingness to continue funding the club at the same level as they had previously been done has diminished somewhat. And the fan group, the members, have been stumping up cash. And so there's tension, right?
Yeah.
The members are wondering, why are the rich kids not putting in the money? And they're like, well, you know, are you running this club properly? Is this actually professionals who are representing the membership? So that tension exists. And Stephen Bradley, in his programme notes last night, had lavish praise for Dermot Desmond and the other owners, saying Desmond was a mentor to him in the past, etc. So it feels like what Bradley's talking about, and this is pure interpretation because he hasn't said it, is the directors who represent the members who I feel are somehow holding the club back in terms of what our ambition is.
Okay.
Maybe a club like Shamrock Rovers right now has been taken as far as it can be by the membership. That's one view. The other is fan-owned football clubs is absolutely the way forward for teams. We've seen what happens when they become the playthings of rich people.
Yeah, exactly.
It only ends one way, and then the rich person loses interest and all of a sudden the club goes tits up.
Yeah.
So just that, for them to be putting out those performances while all this is going on in the background is kind of wild.
All right. So when are they playing Chelsea?
Next week.
All right, okay.
Games live on News Talk.
World Cup qualifier. So we know our World Cup qualification group. The Danes possibly in it again.
The Danes or Portugal. We get to, Cristiano Ronaldo, his last time ever to play against us, which was like 4 years ago, and it'll be the next time we play against them. It'll still be.
Why Denmark or Portugal?
They have to play each other yet. The losers will be in a different group, and the winners get this handy group of us, Hungary.
And Armenia.
Lovely Yerevan. Apparently it is very nice.
Armenia?
Yerevan's supposed to be a beautiful city.
Okay, yeah.
Never been.
No.
Very difficult to get to.
At this stage, we're kind of looked down upon by most other, like, as in we're the team that
Hungary
others.
Will be delighted.
Yeah, Armenia, dance around this.
Armenia are looking at us going, well, we might not finish bottom of this group, and you know, maybe they could duff up the Magyars.
The days of us, I guess we had this period of time whereby, I don't think we were ever in a period where we kind of thought we'd top groups, but we would immediately look to see who we would be in contention with for the second place playoff spot. That was always the who might be battling with us for that second spot. And now it's kind of, how do we avoid the kind of the wooden spoon?
Anytime between 1990 and 2006, we'd looked at this group and gone, yeah, give us the Danes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And even like, it was, you know, we were 1-0 up against them in a World Cup playoff. They did win 5-1. And that was the end of the Martin O'Neill era. And that's not that long ago.
Yeah.
That's living memory. Some of those players will probably still end up playing. Maybe Robbie Brady plays in the game against them. But yeah, it's not tough. It's not like a pig of a group.
Yeah.
But it is too much for us in current form. And without two or three players bursting into some kind of incredible form, like we basically need Evan Ferguson to find his shooting boots again and to be scoring a handful of goals and somehow for us to nick 4-1-0s.
Yeah.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting. It's about as exciting as the Manchester Derby.
Well, the Manchester Derby could end up being 4-all, 5-4.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be nil-all.
Two mid-table teams.
I don't think the
battling it out.
Exactly. I don't think the defences are good enough to be able to do that. So there should be goals in that game.
Yeah.
But I don't know who's going to win.
Like, it's too Amorim's kind of project, Manchester United project. Like, how do you imagine he's kind of viewing this season or this spell he's in?
If he manages this properly in terms of the perception, nothing matters now except deciding which four or five players are actually still going to be at the club next year.
Yeah.
Him burning everybody out or setting down a marker for what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Wild speculation this week about Marcus Rashford's lifestyle having an impact on him as a footballer, and he hasn't done anything really to quell that situation. So that's like their best, most expensive player, 325 grand a week. Bruno Fernandes, who had played under, didn't actually cross over with Amorim, but who you think might be able to play in him. And then there's three or four others that they need to make decisions on. I actually think Bruno probably isn't going to be a long-term Amorim player. And if you get three or four, he starts next season with three or four more of his actual players, then it's his team. But I think really what he's doing is trying to decide, these guys are on my team and these ones are absolutely
so
not
Pep,
my team.
Like, Pep is much more mindful of the result of this in that sense.
100%.
Yeah, okay.
100%. At the same time, so Amorim just beat Pep.
Yeah.
Like, just beat this team, and they were presumably, and it wasn't close, presumably that will be in the Man City players' minds. And, you know, you think, oh, that'll give them motivation for revenge, but it doesn't seem... Manchester City at the moment don't seem to be able to get themselves out of the funk, despite the fact they have a glittering array of superstars. So maybe this is an opportunity for Amorim to get a bit of momentum behind the team, and three or four players who he thought he was on the fence about suddenly become players who he can work with.
Yeah. Anyway, that is, when is that on?
Sunday afternoon, live and off the ball.
Live and off the ball. There you go. Gerard Gilroy from Off the Ball. Thank you very much, as always.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.